think anybody can tell you when life begins. Human life begins.
We need a president who doesn't think that the protection of the unborn or a newly born baby is above his pay grade.
It is a cultural war as critical to the kind of nation we shall be as the Cold War itself. For this war is for the soul of America.
The pools of blood shed by modern atheism dwarf anything that religion can produce. And in fact, all the religions in the world put together haven't killed as many as atheist regimes have killed in about 10 years.
What do you think? If Governor Palin's daughter, the 17-year-old that is unmarried and pregnant, expecting a baby, if she had gone to a school where they didn't fool around with something like abstinence-based sex education, you think she'd be pregnant, unmarried, expecting a baby today? A lot of people think one of the biggest problems we have in sex education is the influence of abstinence, whether it's abstinence-only or abstinence-based sex education. They say it's a pipe dream. Come on. They're going to do it anyway. Abstinence is impossible. What we need to do is educate them on safe sex, on preventing unwanted pregnancies. A lot of people say this. Here in the first few minutes of this hour of Issues Etc., Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse will join us to talk about teen sex and abstinence-based sex education. You can join us as well. We're coming to you live this Wednesday, September the 10th. I'm Todd Wilkin. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. After our short conversation with Jennifer, we're going to be talking with Dr. Danny Faulkner. He's professor of physics and astronomy at the University of Southern California and a speaker for the Institute for Creation Research. Now, the reason we have him in, we don't usually talk with astronomers. The reason we have him in is because there's a big gizmo over there in Switzerland, 17 miles in circumference. It's a super collider, a super collider, it says, or those who built it and those who are going to be using it say that inside this collider, they will, in a very small scale, be able to recreate, hopefully, what they believe were the conditions in the first few millionths of a second after the Big Bang, all there in Switzerland. We're going to find out whether the Big Bang actually explains the origin of everything. Dr. Danny Faulkner will be our guest. Then Greg Kokel will join us to talk about some statements made yesterday by Senator Joe Biden on embryonic stem cell research and true compassion. Jennifer Roback-Morse is our guest, founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Diego. She spent 15 years teaching economics at Yale University and George Mason University, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Well, this is what's wrong with abstinence-based sex education. You end up with 17-year-old girls who haven't been given the proper information and education, and they're pregnant out of wedlock.
Well, you know, what's crazy about that point of view, Todd, is that there are probably plenty of other politicians' daughters who get pregnant but who choose to have an abortion rather than carry the child to term. I mean, what this situation shows is that the decision to have a child or not to have a child is really a social decision because it affects and impacts the entire family around you. So to say that it should just be the woman's right to choose and that it's all up to her and only up to her without looking at the larger context of the family within which that's situated, that is really misleading and very crazy. So there are probably all kinds of pregnancies that we don't know about because they never got carried to term and nobody ever saw that the teenage daughter of somebody else was pregnant. And that's really the fallacy of the whole movement towards, how do we want to call it, the hookup with contraception culture that is being created.
How do you respond to someone who says abstinence is a great ideal, a great dream, and we really wish our kids would be abstinent for a whole number of reasons, but it's never worked. It's never been able to be pulled off realistically. And if we're going to be realistic about educating our kids, we need to do away with this whole pipe dream of abstinence.
Well, the problem is that every educational plan needs a backup plan, okay? If your plan is to teach abstinence, then the backup plan is you have the baby and you either put it up for adoption or you get married. But the backup plan somehow involves creating social support for having the baby. That's what the abstinence-only and pro-life vision really includes, is a backup plan that includes a spot for the child. The problem with that point of view is that the fact is that contraception fails all the time. At least 40% of women who go in for an abortion were using contraception when they had their unplanned pregnancy, or at least that's what they tell you. So contraceptive failures turn out to be very common, never talked about, and the backup plan for contraception is abortion. And that's the only backup plan that they have. So you have to ask yourself, none of these methods really work perfectly. Abstinence doesn't work perfectly. Contraception doesn't work perfectly. You're looking in either case at a whole package. And the question is, which of those packages is more appealing? A package that says, have sex whenever and however you want to, with a contraception that may or may not work and have abortion as a backup plan, or attempt to be abstinent, attempt to wait for marriage, and if you have an unplanned pregnancy, then you try to figure out some way to support the woman and her child, either within marriage or outside of marriage. But somehow the plan, the society's plan, is to support the mother and the baby. I think that's a much more humane package than the package which says, girls, chemically neuter yourselves, and if it fails, kill your baby. You know, that picture is just not a very appealing picture.
How would you respond to someone who says that abstinence doesn't belong, especially in our public education system, because it is invariably driven or the thinly veiled guise for religious beliefs about sex?
Well, I would say this. The idea that you can be neutral about sex is, I think, a complete myth. And this is one of the things I talked about in my book, Smart Sex, Finding Lifelong Love in a Hookup World. There's a whole chapter in there called Why Morally Neutral Sex Isn't. Because what is behind the comment you just made, Todd, is the idea that if we just tell people, hey, here's information, go ahead and do whatever you want, don't worry about it, there's no morality involved here, you bring your own morality to it, that itself is a moral claim. There are a whole set of moral suppositions embedded within that. And so the idea that you can actually be neutral is, in my opinion, a complete myth.
Then let's turn to the issue of teen sex itself. We're told that it is prevalent. We're told that it is so prevalent and that culturally in the sexual revolution, we've turned such a corner that we can never go back to anything where there are social taboos attached to premarital sex, but especially to very early teen sex. And the ages are growing earlier and earlier and earlier. Talk about that, if you would.
Yes. You see, the fallacy of that is to say, well, because there is some out-of-wedlock sexuality, we should throw up our hands and not do anything about it, and we should give condoms to 11-year-olds. I mean, the fact is, having sex is not age-appropriate for a 14-year-old or anybody lower than that. And so as soon as you start to say, well, gosh, that's obviously the case, well, you're making judgments then. You're saying, what is the proper behavior for a girl of a particular age level? And so even within the general secular view that has no particular religious significance to sexuality, any moron, I think, can see that a 14-year-old shouldn't be having sex. No 14-year-old is ready for that. And so, therefore, that, you know, once again, that's a whole dodge. And I think also there are two ways to see it. It used to be considered, if you look at movies from the 50s, it used to be considered that smoking was cool and that getting drunk was cool. You know, that was kind of a chic thing to do, that smoking made you glamorous, and alcoholism was basically played for laughs in the society. Well, both of those things have been completely turned around by the efforts of concerned mothers and fathers, primarily. Mothers Against Drunk Driving changed the whole social landscape with respect to drinking. My goal at the Ruth Institute, Todd, my goal is that within 15 years, I want casual sex, hooking up, to be just as uncool as smoking is today. And I think that's completely doable, to make casual sex, hooking up, sex outside of wedlock, messing around with somebody whose name you don't even know, that needs to be seen as uncool. And if we can make smoking uncool, we can make that very dangerous, really very stupid sexual activity appear to be uncool.
Hey, before we let you go, Jen, you said you have some kind of offer for our listeners.
Well, yes. Yes, you know what? I have a weekly newsletter that I send out that has my writings and information about various aspects having to do with marriage and family and human sexuality. And if your listeners will go to ruthinstitute.org, they can sign up for that newsletter. And if they do, I will send them links to a couple of articles I've written on why the pill doesn't work. There's an article that I wrote called The Pill Past Its Due Date, and another one called Now You Tell Us That the Pill Doesn't Really Work Properly. So if listeners will sign up for my Ruth Institute newsletter, I will send them links to both of those articles absolutely free.
Folks, if you go to the on-demand section of our website tonight, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, click on demand, you'll find more information on Jennifer Roback Morse and her offer to you as our listeners. Jennifer Roback Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Diego. She spent 15 years teaching economics at Yale and George Mason University. And she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jennifer, it's always a pleasure. Keep up the good work.
Thanks a million.
They say abstinence doesn't work, but it does work when it's practiced. It is the best contraceptive there ever was. Think about it. It's risk-free, too. It is disease-free. It's not considered cool or hip or culturally relevant, but it is the safest path for the young person to take before marriage. It really does, in fact, work. When we come back, Dr. Danny Faulkner, professor of physics and astronomy at University of South California, will join us to talk about the new super collider in Switzerland and the origins of the universe.
What is it, Captain?
Whatever it is, it's incredibly advanced.
Hey iPhone users, you can now listen to Issues Etc. live on your iPhone. Find out by going to piratechristianradio.com and click the iPhone link on the homepage. You no longer have to sit by your PC, laptop, or home radio to listen to Issues Etc. live. piratechristianradio.com and look for the iPhone icon.
With something much, much more. And it's going to change everything.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming the most recent members of the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Christ Our Savior, Freeburg, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in its mission or advertising budget on our website, issuesetc.org.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org, click promote, and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. issuesetc.org.